Look who's back from her suspension right as June
Yay.
is ending.
I'm allowed back for 1 week.
Allowed back, well, 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Yeah, you're right.
2 weeks. Yes, because The Witcher is back, season three. We're going to go over, not too in depth, as you can see, this whole episode is over episodes 1 through 3 of season three. And then next week will be episodes 4 and 5. It will complete part one of The Witcher season three until, was it June 20, no, July 28th? It's
Something
like
like that, yeah.
27th, something like that, when part two comes back and we will finish that up. But yes, after next week, I will be gone. I will be suspended.
Yep.
And Lucy's reign of terror will commence.
4 weeks of unplanned, unhinged podcasts.
Who
Yeah.
knows what it's going to bring? I'm guessing, do you know?
I have
Have
some
ideas?
ideas. I have some ideas. That's probably my job this weekend, is to get that kind of locked down. Get some ideas. Yeah. Actually need to tell the other people about these ideas. That would be probably
Yeah, you
step
might.
one.
Yeah, you might need to include them in on it. Yeah, so we're gonna go the first three episodes today. We're not gonna go scene by scene. It's gonna be more of like a general overview of it, and then at the end, we're gonna put them in our own tier rankings. But first off, I got a new
Oh, nice bottle.
Ciroc Passion,
That looks lovely.
exotic blend of the tropics, homeboy. Very pineapple-y. We can see the reflection. We can see the camera.
Yeah. Ooh, that's
Yeah, Ciroc
cool.
bottles are the nicest. But yes, it's very good, very pineapple-y. So I've got it with my sparkling water.
Very nice. I'm just having a cup of tea.
A cuppa before bed.
Yeah. Cup of Yorkshire tea.
We'll then get back into the groove. But let's go ahead and get going here. I will just say for myself, I was stunned how much I enjoyed these five episodes.
So I've only watched three. So if you notice, we've released this on the day of release. If you didn't know, Brett and I got press screeners, so we were able to watch this a little bit early. I have decided to only watch the three that we're recording tonight, and then I'll watch 4 and 5 tomorrow. But yeah, I agree. I was kind of blown away by it. It feels so different to the
It
previous two
feels
series.
completely, it feels like it is a completely different, like showrunner, like a completely different vision. And I don't know what caused it. I do remember hearing, I think it was Lauren Hesterick, the showrunner, saying that this season was going to be the most lore friendly or book friendly. And
Yes.
that is 100% to a T for at least the first five episodes. I have watched the first five episodes, and I put out a little tweet earlier, a little Twitter thread. There are more book references, source material, whatever you want to call it, in these first five episodes than I think the first two seasons combined.
Yeah, I remember her saying that A Time of Contempt was a lot easier to adapt in terms of sticking to source material in comparison with Blood of Elves.
There is a ton of it in here. And
Yeah.
did I fever dream this? Did I misremember this? Or is this just bullshit coming from like Henry Cavill fanboys? He didn't ever say that he's le that he left because of not adherence to source material, right? He never actually
No,
said that. Okay.
nobody has ever confirmed a reason as to why he
Okay.
left, in quotation marks, but I feel like the fanboys and the crazy stans have said it that much that it's become like canon. Or we think it's canon because we're like, surely they have a source.
That was a joke we made also, at least that I made. That was, as it goes on, as the books go on, the saga, the Witcher saga, whatever you want to call
Oh,
these, the
yeah.
novels, Geralt plays in a way less of a role. Maybe that's not a bad, maybe that's a bad way to say it. He becomes less important, should I say. It becomes Ciri's story.
Yes.
And I was always wondering, I was like, he's supposed to know that, right? He reads the books, he does all that.
Yeah, of course he would know that if he's so obsessed with the books.
Yes, but could his ego and could his name take a back seat? And to me, it was always, how funny would that be, is if they came from all this and they're like, all right, here's the vision, the way the books are. And it's like, yeah, you're going to be a backseat. And I don't know. I wish maybe I'll get somebody to do this, or somebody wants to do it, or somebody on Reddit will probably do it. His screen time in these episodes felt far less than before.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely is more focused. Well, it's more focused on the larger cast as a whole. Like, we get a lot more screen time for other groups of people, but in terms of the main cast, we get a lot more Ciri Yen Yaskier.
Yaskier has 100% become a fourth main character.
Cast. Yes.
Yeah. I noticed that at about episode two or three. Mm-hmm. That it's just, man, he's in this a lot. I also think, and again, this is purely anecdotal, pulling it out of my ass. It also seems like despite focusing, like you said, on the other characters, which they do, they seem to be more focused on them. And they don't jump here for a 3-minute scene and then jump away. It's they go there for a 5-6 minute scene and they talk and they talk and they let things go. And then they go, the jumping around didn't seem as much. And it seemed like it actually worked jarring. More.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't feel as, I didn't feel lost ever. Like, I don't know if that's just coming from somebody who's really familiar with the universe now, but felt like I understood what was going on all the time, even though there was lots of different groups at play.
Episode five kind of.
Oh, really?
They do a thing. It's actually, I like the way they did it. But at first I had a little flashback PTSD to jumping around timeline kind of thing.
Oh no.
But it works. It works. Okay. Once I kind of pause it and I'm like, did I fucking fall asleep on the rewind button or whatever? Did I? Because it goes, but the way they do it's very good. But we'll talk about that next week. So yes, the biggest thing to get out of this is I can't believe how much I enjoyed it. A complete 180. I was so done with the series. And man, it's one of those just when you think you're out, they pull you and suck you right back in.
Yeah, it's exciting though. And obviously the premiere is happening tonight. So everybody's getting excited on Twitter and it's fun to see everybody all there together. Just watching it on Twitter this time though.
Not us. We're here.
We're here.
We're here. All right. So yeah, we're going to start here with episode one, Share a Wed, which again, anybody who's no stranger to the podcast knows this is what I was most excited for.
Yeah.
It was the only thing that I was really looking forward because this story of Shaharawed from Blood of Elves and the books is my favorite thing in any Witcher medium, whatever you want to call it. It's my favorite. And they don't do what I wanted them to do here. But okay. We'll get kind of towards that. But it just starts off with them three together. We also talked about that, I know, before, that they have a lot of work to do to get Yen, Ciri, and Geralt like a family.
Yeah.
And we all speculated, hey, they're going to spend an episode or two just them together, and right out of the gate they do that. That was nice to see.
It was, yes. I was so curious as to how they were going to approach the situation, which was not from books, where Yennefer's had this big betrayal, and we have to get back to, like what you said, the family dynamic. And I think they did it pretty well. Like, they didn't... I was also concerned that they were going to drag it out for too long. Like, I didn't want to see Yennefer being kicked out of another house. Like, I was over
okay,
it.
How long
like,
did
stop.
It take you to realize that they were all together? Because as I'm watching it, Geralt's picking up these notes and reading them, like they're letters, and then they're in the background. And I just was like, wait, is she writing letters? Why is she doing that? And then I realized probably far too late, oh, he's making her sleep outside or not
yeah,
sleep
no,
with them in the
same
house.
Yeah, no, I picked that up straight away. Okay, no, I realized that she was just being, you know, she was just being Yennefer, where, oh, if you're not going to speak to me, then I'm going to leave notes on your door. It's so funny.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was nice. I liked the way they approached it, where he realizes that he has to bring her along, but he's also keeping her at arm's length for a wee while at least. But then we get our family bonding montage.
We get the bonding montage, and as the more we get into it, I did think that this season by far was Henry Cavill's best as Geralt.
I agree. I still
just take complete umbrage with that he just mumbles and hums and all that, and you see a little bit of it. You see a little bit of, I know, at least the third episode here of him actually getting to act.
Yeah.
And having to let that guard down. And this is the moments here where when it's them two and you start to see him kind of having fun, it's like, this needs to be a different Geralt. And he needs to put his fucking guard down. He needs to have fun with them. He needs to fucking smile. So I don't know if the decision to do so hard on that was Henry Cavill's or not. I'm hoping it was his decision to play it that way and that Liam Hemsworth is going to come in and actually try to play a Geralt from the books. It's so fucking funny to me. All the people complaining about source material being, you know, got to be into the source material, blah, blah, blah. When Geralt's whole behavior and demeanor is the furthest fucking thing from the goddamn books.
Yeah, so ironic. It's just hilarious.
It's almost like he can do no wrong.
Exactly. It's almost like maybe they haven't actually read the books.
Or they have, it's just they can't say anything bad about A, Henry Cavill, or B, white man.
Yeah, well, that's another good point. Yeah. But I did like, yeah, when Ciri, you know, jumps on his back and he puts his arm around her so much when he's talking to her, you know, just little fatherly kind of things. It's so sweet. But yeah, I think this is my favorite Henry Cavill as well. So it's kind of annoying that now he has to leave and the stands are going to be insufferable.
I cannot wait to hear the response, because like I'm because, you know, the funny thing about getting these screeners are we can't base this off anybody else. We don't
know.
We don't know what's going to react. So I'm talking it up. I'm saying all this and it could be the fucking opposite.
Yeah, and people might hit it.
Yeah. And it's just you're getting our legit honest opinion because we literally have nobody else who has seen this that we've really talked to. The other people that we know, the other podcasts, you know, that have got screeners, I don't think any of them have actually watched all 5 episodes yet.
Yeah, it's funny because we get these screeners pretty late and none of us are full-time podcasters. You know, we have other things to do, we have jobs to do, so we can't just sit down and watch for 6 hours.
Well, I don't have a job right now, so I did.
Well, yeah, that's you've got a good excuse, but
I've got the
usually when
off.
It's like Christmas or something, you know, we can't all just...
Oh, that's, yeah. When they gave it 3 days like before?
2 days before Christmas or something, we're like, well, I'm busy now.
I was literally in New York at Netflix head offices watching it when we got it. Like
it doesn't always, like, getting the screeners is great, don't get me wrong, but it's not always like we have the time to watch all of them. But you're right, this is the thing, usually when we watch something, a movie, we might, you know, read articles about things you missed in this, da da da, but
or just
this time
stealing
we,
an idea, you know, from, or not stealing, but hearing another idea and taking it
and talking about it, and then maybe we even just simply read the plot to make our script easier. We don't have any of that when we get screeners, which is really, you know, it's quite fun because then we just get unhinged notes from both of us.
Just down being like, we're going to talk about all these episodes. I do have to take also a little bit of issue with the wording of Yen saying that Ciri has great potential, but little talent. And the pedantic coach in me is going to be like, and the athlete is going to be like, she does not have good ability, but she has amazing talent. Talent is your potential. You look at it and you're just like, oh shit, this person could be amazing. But right now they look like a newborn dove, like footwork wise, you know?
It's like
toolsy in baseball. They've got all the tools. They got a strong arm. They got a ton of power. They just can't make enough contact, or they can't hit a certain pitch or something like that. And so that right there is just me being like, that's not really talent. She's talented like out the world.
Yes. I wrote that line down as well, but little talent, because it did kind of stick out to me that she's struggling with her training. Like, she's got all of the knowledge there somewhere. She just doesn't know how to harness it.
Yes, the tools.
Yeah, like, the
everything's
tools.
There.
Yeah,
she doesn't
exactly,
know how to use it.
So, yeah, it's strange the way she's worded that. And also, just it sounds really rude as well. She has little talent.
When she calls her ugly one later, that'll be...
I know.
It's a book thing, though. Ugly duckling. Mm-hmm. Kept calling her ugly duckling. Geralt's cape. Geralt's got that cape. Badass. Loved it.
Looks great.
I love that outfit there. I love it. Oh, that's okay. Next episode. We'll talk about that when he gets to a certain place. I'm digging his outfits. I'm digging his Witcher gear a lot more. It's an actual leather jerkin.
And also Yennefer's long wigs, so much better. The long hair on her, rather than she used to have like super short curled hair. But I guess this is meant to be her more casual style because she's not at Aretuza anymore. She's not going to dinners and balls. So she's got more casual outfits, casual, just long curled hair. And I love it. I saw a lot of people getting angry about Yennefer's outfits on Twitter before this was released. But I think it makes more sense that she's just in casual outfits.
Hold that thought till episode 4 and 5.
Oh, what, at the ball?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the outfit for the ball.
Yeah, that's... Everyone else is amazing. Everyone else is incredible, fantastical.
Yeah.
And hers, I'm just
curious. Not
I'm
sure
just,
on.
Oh, I'm sure on it. It looks terrible. I just wonder why. Like, everyone else just looks like they're at a fucking early modern Renaissance era, like, ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then hers looks, I don't know, looks like something a junior high girl would wear.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really weird. But we'll get into that once you actually get to see it.
Yeah, well.
Last thing, on this like opening scene, basically, I laughed at them at the dinner table using serving spoons in the dishes and then not using silverware.
Do they not?
Yeah, and they don't use silverware. And I'm like, okay, if they wanted to be, quote, medieval, you know, to the thing and not using silverware, yeah, you're right. People would use their hands. But when you eat family style like that, like everybody fucking did back then, how do you think they got that stuff out? They use their hands. That's why you had
so there's
to keep
no serving spoon.
No,
yeah.
you just get your fucking hand, you dump it on your little plate, which could be like a thing of bread if you're rich enough, and then like you eat it from there. Like as far as like silverware and all that stuff, it was just like, eh. The peasants like them would be like, no, you're not fucking using that. But the serving spoon was just hilarious to me that they will use the spoons to get it out and then shovel it in their
and then just hands.
just hands in their mouth. That they would
Their
do
little
it that
houses
way.
Were cute though, and it's sad because you could see them get happy in one place and then have to upstart again and get out of there.
They're on the
And
run.
Geralt seemed super conscious about that. You know, there was a moment where Yennefer is like, "These ones are only villagers. You know, it's fine." He's like, "No,
like, nope.
we have to move." Yeah,
gotta go. But they finally get to the snowbound, wherever the hell it was. Yarpen Zigrin. Jeremy Crawford, fucking this dude, man, knocks it out of the goddamn park.
Yeah, he's really good as Yarpen.
All energy.
Yeah, it's just he's constantly at 11, just cussing them out, calling them out.
Don't touch
it's
my
hilarious.
Shite.
Are you two fucking again?
Are you two fucking again? He's a fucking Thaw. He just gets so, he turns it up to 12 so easy. So he mentions the squirrels hit Henselt's convoy. No, that's Scheherazade. That's the story.
So that is Scheherazade.
They combine the little fight there at Scheherazade. That's what happens. Ciri and Geralt are talking over Aelorin and all that stuff. Yen is not there at all, period. Like anywhere around there. Triss has massive, horrible diarrhea.
Oh, so that's where the story
that's
is.
Where they're
Okay.
Yeah, she's sick and all that. And the transfigured Yaskir's there. And then Scoia'tael hit Henselt's convoy. We don't get Regan Dahlberg. We don't get Polly Dahlberg. We don't get Yarpen at the end. And that's what I just don't like. I will not recount the story again. One, because anybody's longtime listeners probably sick of me telling it. Two, because if I actually tell the story, I will start like tearing up and crying again.
No.
Because it's that fucking good. But anyway, it's great. Whatever. They didn't do it. We see new, I'm going to call him Rince, because that was the Gwent voice voiceover. It was Rince. Rience. No knock to the actor. No knock to him. But I don't like it. I don't like
he's
it.
He's just not. He's got
I
big
miss
boots
my
to
boy.
Fill.
He does. Fucking Chris Fulton was his name, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Fuck, he was awesome. And man, I miss him.
That's what I thought too. And I felt bad because the new guy's great. You know, he does a good job. He does a fine job. But Chris Fulton was just awesome. Like, very badass.
My notes to him would be, everything you're doing is fine, but you're not Chris Fulton, so you suck.
And that's
now.
Not your fault.
Like, it's not. Yeah, but that dude, because I rewatched the second half of The Witcher Season 2 a few weeks ago.
You did?
A couple weeks ago. And dude, right when that guy came back, I was like, hell yes. Oh, fuck, he's not coming back.
And then you remembered. Yeah.
I remembered. Scoia'tael. We finally get the Scoia'tael, the mention of the Scoia'tael, but it is not Francesca. It's this other group of elves that are the Scoia'tael.
So that's the squirrel. Is that the squirrels?
That's the squirrels, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I was just trying to keep up with the whole elven storyline here. So Francesca seems to be in charge, but she doesn't have as much control over like the squirrels and this Gallatin.
What I got out of that is they are separate. Like, that's what they're arguing about, is we need to be united. Like, it's the Scoia'tael, and they never said commando, but that's what, like, he would be, is
because he still seemed to be taking orders from her, because she's kind of like the queen, right?
Yeah, and then later on, I know they do kind of unite in that sense.
Yeah,
but I guess you're right. Technically, he would be under her, but kind of breaking away, doing his own thing, and they can't really do anything about it. I guess
he's very much trying to go against her, anyway, as we see a bit more later on, in these episodes. But yeah, I kind of got the gist that she's acting queen, but she's very much got her own agenda, where she's just interested in Ciri at the moment, and other things are getting left behind, which is what's causing him grief.
Everybody after Ciri.
Yeah.
This is Gallatin.
I kept calling them gelatin.
Well, I never thought of it till now. I like this dude. He's kind of badass, little bro witcher. Kind of got a little mohawk thing going on. Got a badass scar.
Yeah, he's quite cool.
Kind of got the lower voice.
His voice kind of throws me off sometimes because I'm like, what is it?
It shouldn't be that deep. Oh, you mean like his accent?
Like, are you English? Or are you American? And then it's very obvious to me that that's not... I know this is silly to say, but like, it's very obvious that that's not his actual voice.
Oh, you think he's Canadian?
I don't know.
If you're not quite English, not quite American, you're Canadian, right?
Yeah. You wonder what where the actor's from?
He is. Oh my God. Canadian American.
Canadian American.
What'd I tell you?
I knew it.
See?
I knew there was something
you don't
not
quite know.
Not quite right. There's something. Yeah, he was just in the middle.
Either way, he was great, but he fucking gets killed in fucking episode 3. So
he does, unfortunately.
That was annoying we get there. Next up on the new character list, how about Radovid?
Oh my God.
I can hear all the Witcher 3 players going crazy they made him a bumbling gay oaf. But I will, again, said it before, anybody new listening who has not read the books, Radovid is in the books for all of like a fucking paragraph or so. He's a child at the end during this parade. And all we really get out of him is Philippa freaks him out. That Philippa looks at him and he looks up into her like deep, sunken, dark eyes. And that is it. So this Radovid the Stern, all that stuff we know from the games and everything is purely CDPR. So it's kind of a blank slate if you're going again by the books.
So in the Witcher 3, Philippa also can't see.
Radovid blinded, so also, Radovid blinded her, yeah.
But that was not a book thing, was it not?
No, but I do. If CDPR lore. Did actually take that passage from the books and do that as a nod, that's fucking brilliant.
They must have done.
They had to have done.
Why else would he do that?
Why else would he blind her?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I just was thinking because she was like the top mage that he hated, and that was the way to you blind. It's like old Byzantine thing. You blind him or you castrate him.
Uh-huh. I think it would definitely be to do with him not liking her eyes as well.
I think it was a great callback. We should also say that canonically, yeah. There you go. Radovid is Vizimir's son in the books. Here, he is his brother.
Yeah, so my only knowledge of Radovid is Witcher 3 Radovid.
Yeah.
So this is very different, but I'm here for it. At the moment, he's just kind of like not really got much of a purpose. He seems like he doesn't really know what he's doing. I don't know if he's putting that on where he's kind of acting like a bit indifferent to everything. He just seems to want to drink and listen to music. But Jaskier kind of calls him out at one point saying, I know you're not really drunk, right? You're keeping your wits about you here. So
I thought that
I
was
going to
be the thing too. Through three episodes, it's not. Like as we see at the end of the third episode with Hedwig, with her head in the box, that he's not playing it. Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, he's just playing off as an oaf.
And
to really let people let their guard down. But I don't think he is. I think he's just a himbo.
But yeah, exactly. But at the minute, I can't see how he would ever turn out to be like The Witcher 3 Radovid. But if that's just completely lore, he might not ever turn out to be like that.
No, that was them. Fine. Because he might have been, I think he was actually in The Witcher 1 too, but The Witcher 2 especially, when the like war on mages, when he started persecuting mages and all that, they had a conclave they kind of had there. So no, that is primarily a SETI Project Red kind of thing. Another book thing we get, Vespula. Vespula is here. She is mentioned in The Witcher 3 also, but does not look like her description from the books. So I thought it was kind of weird that they put her in the game. But she wasn't blonde. She pretty much looks like Priscilla.
Oh.
Like the description from Eternal Flame, the short story. I did see a thing here where this was Joey Beatty's idea.
I saw that too.
That he asked them to do it. And that's kind of one of those like worrying things when it's just like, why is the act? You know, it's like, I think it's fair to say that. Like that the actor is asking to put in the book thing.
Yeah.
When they didn't. But I don't know. It's probably much to do about nothing. But it is nice, again, just to kind of get it in there to be like, oh, hey, it doesn't mean anything, but it's just a little fan service thing.
Exactly. And I'm kind of happy that there are more stories like this coming out, because at the minute, there's so many insufferable people that are like, Henry is the only one who, you know, references the source material. He's the only one. But there's loads of stories coming out how Joey Beatty is now asking for stuff from the books. Another one that I read about today, Therica Wilson-Reed, who plays Sabrina. She is apparently the biggest Witcher Bible ever.
Really?
And her and Mianna Burring will spend hours on the phone talking about the books and how they can draw things from the books about certain stories and stuff.
Okay, hold on to that for a recording tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I've mentioned it before when we talked about it in the series that Sabrina and Yen have a rivalry in the books.
Yeah.
That is not in the show. And then, like this show, there's a flip, there's a 180, yeah. And something happens later that I'm like, okay, what the hell happened? But it's very book-centric, but we'll get there tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, I noticed a little bit when they're in the bathhouse in episode 3 that Sabrina does taunt Yennefer a little bit.
Yeah, that kind of lays the groundwork.
That kind of seems like the beginning of it, yeah.
For something that happens in episode 5 that is one of my fucking favorite things from
I need to watch it tonight, I think.
In the books. Do you have to? You may. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. Yaskier's hair. He's do you like his hair?
It.
His look?
No.
Yeah. The eyeshadow.
I love his makeup. I love the makeup, yeah. But I just think the hair looks awful. Joey Beatty is a beautiful man.
Weird decision. It makes him look so much more unattractive. So,
and I know
say,
they probably
sorry,
don't want
sorry,
to
not
have
more,
short hair.
No, okay, I shouldn't say more unattractive. That's insinuating that he's already unattractive. No, it makes him look unattractive.
Yeah, yeah. I think because they probably don't want to give him short hair because that's what he had in the first series. And
he
that
looked,
was like
oh my
young
God.
Yaskier.
I put that stupid fucking meme of him from the first season. He looks like a kid.
Yeah.
He has a little
but
boy
But they have to
haircut.
Age him somehow, and the rest of
well,
them are supposed
no,
to be about 100.
That ship has sailed. Yaskier's age does not make any sense. They just
That was another thing. Do you remember I messaged you yesterday saying people are speculating that Yaskier is the descendant of Aayla and Fjall?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like,
on.
That would explain his aging.
I swear.
Like, no.
There's
no,
a
no,
blood
no.
origin reference coming up we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Also here is Philippa, who is bad fucking ass. God damn, they knocked Philippa out of the park. This is exactly how I imagine.
Her.
Just a boss bitch.
Yeah, she's just hilarious. She's witty. She's smart. And she's like threatening, but she's also really hot. Like, I just love Cassie Clare. As
yeah,
like, I think this is Cassie Clare's like first acting job as well. Like, she's just so good.
They got that one down. Radovid is also there. And rule of threes, Yarpin shows up and he just kind of holds looking at him. And Yaskier goes to say his name. He's like, I fucking know. He's like, I know, I fucking know. And just like, God damn. He's so angry. It's so good. Very funny meta joke here. Of Yaskier saying it's a rule of threes thing, it has to be done. I'm like, that is a
yeah,
meta.
I didn't know what that was.
That's a meta writing joke. If you
right,
watch anything in TV or movies or games, it's always the third one, right? Go check this. Oh, nothing there. Oh, go check that. Oh, nothing there. It's always the fucking third one. That's like the rule of threes in this kind of writing.
Okay.
Or storytelling,
they've done
I should
this
say, not
before
writing.
Where they have a poke at fun at their own
yeah.
writing and stuff, don't they? It's funny.
Yeah, and it's through.
And it's always
Yaskier. Yep.
It's always the bard.
There. Yeah. All right, so there's the rest of the episode I don't really care to talk about too much because it's Aelorin. It's the Scheherazade. They give Aelorin's story, which I love. Aelorin's fucking awesome. Great Gwent card. It was always my animated card on the profile, you know? It was always Aelorin. I love the story here. Again, don't do the shit on the show. Go read about that stuff. Don't do it here. And I do like, though, I do like that we got Ciri showing that she wants to be different and this actual altruistic thinking that she wants to help people, that she understands that she's special, that the
yeah.
world is on fire because of her, that if she can take that and make things better, it'll be good. And I also think this is why people think that the Nilfgaard Ciri ending is the best in The Witcher 3. Despite the fact that they are objectively wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the moment, the way she was speaking, you're right. Maybe if Ciri was to have an option at the moment for what ending she would get, she would maybe pick the Empress ending right now because she could make the most difference. But maybe by the end of the story,
yeah.
She might be more interested in the Witcher ending.
Yeah, she has no idea who Emir is and what
exactly.
He's doing. And that would be a good, that would be fucking interesting if she knew. If she somehow got face to face with him and was like, I'm your father and come be by my side, this will stop the war, blah, blah, blah. That will be an interesting decision for her.
How are they going to do that? Like Darth Vader moment.
It's really weird because they can't really do it. I mean, they can do it the same way to the kid. That's a Lady of the Lake at the end. Yeah, that's a big one in there. For those that want to discuss that, jump in our Discord linked below.
Yeah.
And go to the spoiler section of the books and let's have at it. See, I mentioned early, I feel like we got robbed of a Reagan, Polly Dahlberg, Yarpin tearjerker to see Jeremy Crawford, you know, do that. Like, fucking
yeah.
Yarpin delivers the most fucking tearjerking thing in the whole goddamn series. But we didn't get it, but it was okay. A bunch of shit happens. Rince comes in, gets attacked. Gage, Francesca's brother,
Oh,
is fucking yeeted by Geralt.
those were two big moments. There was two moments in this fight where I went, and like slapped my hand over my mouth, where Jaskier gets shot in the back, but he's fine. It hits the luge. But
The loot.
the way he hit the ground, I was like, shit. I was like, they're not doing this, please no. And then yeah, Gage gets a hold of Ciri, and obviously we know him as Francesca's brother. He's not just another random elf, but he's got a hold of Ciri. So Geralt puts his sword through him,
Well, he's
and
yelling
then
out to the battlefield, "Hey, everybody,
I've
stop!
got
Everybody, stop!
her.
I've got her! Everybody, look at me! I've got her!" And let me just stand wide open.
Yep.
You idiot.
And but we obviously have some kind of affection for Francesca, and she it's horrible, that moment where she sees her brother getting killed and Philavandro holds her back, and Misha Simpson just killing it still
He,
as Fran.
yes, she is awesome. I wish Philavandro had more to do. He doesn't do
Yeah.
much. Like in the five episodes, he really does.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, he does almost next to nothing. I feel kind of bad. It's very much the Francesca show, but
Right.
no, she is amazing. I would honestly say her and Yarpen, her Misha Simpson as Francesca and Jeremy Crawford as Yarpen were my two like standouts, and Cassie Clare
Yeah.
as not Priscilla,
Nope.
as
Philippa.
Philippa. Jesus
Or Pip.
Christ.
I love the moment where
Pip. Oh, she's a
Radovid
bitch.
calls her Pip and she's like, ugh. So in the
Fucking
rest of my
Pip.
notes, she's Pip.
Oi, Pip. But yeah, that's pretty much going to be it for that episode. I know I need to hastily move it along here. Where are you going to put it in the tier? I'm straddling a B or a C tier. When I think about the stuff I like, I'm like a B tier. But then I'm like, no, Sherwood, they didn't do my thing. A C
I
tier.
know, yeah, I was disappointed for you a little bit when you said it wasn't sort of what you were expecting it to be,
But I would say
but
B for me. I would say B because
yeah.
when I watched it, I did want to keep watching. And I will say, as much
Yeah.
as I did love the series, this episode, for the most part, did feel more of the same. It felt better, but it didn't feel different. It's really going to be episode two, and then especially getting into like four and five, where it really started to feel like a different and much better show. But at this moment, this was just a perfectly cromulent episode.
Yeah, there was parts of it that I loved. Like one thing we didn't talk about that I really liked was the Bellatine Festival. I
Oh,
liked
the
that they
Jack.
just
Yeah, we
went and
need to talk about it.
had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that part. Just because it's there was lots of nice outfits, and we got the mention that it's both Ciri and Yennefer's birthday.
The May Queen.
Yeah, so Ciri also wore in a really nice outfit that I'm like fingers crossed lots of cosplayers will make, and I can see people make.
So you can buy one Etsy.
Yeah, I'll Etsy it. Yeah, we get that Jacopaeus monster, which is, you know, just another monster, but what do we call it? The bonding montage is like pulling it up for me because I really, really loved that bit. And I don't know, the first episode for me is always like, oh, you know, there's so much excitement involved in it because you've seen all the
Yeah.
characters
So
again for the
where are you
first
gonna put
time.
it?
I'll put it in B for now,
Yeah, it
but
was a
that's
good
not set
start.
in stone.
Oh, mine's set. I'm not going back to it.
All right.
I'm not going back. This is it. It's done. We've covered it in here. All right, so on to episode two, Unbound. Right off the gate again, Applegats.
Who's
Another
this?
is a book character. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Alyssa at a friend over at Breakfast in Beauclair. A primarily Witcher podcast. For some reason, I always thought that this was like one of her favorite characters.
Applegate.
Yeah. And I for some she said something about it one time. I don't know why. I could be completely like pulling that out of my ass. But for some reason, I thought she always had an affinity for Applegat.
And
But
did you
he's
ask her, or
no, I didn't.
if she, yeah.
No, at the time of talking, at the time of this recording right now, I've only talked about episode one. And so she
Okay,
hasn't, and I'm
yeah.
just like, ah, whatever, it'll get in there. It'll come up eventually. But Ciri gets these visions of him and the death and
Yeah.
all that. Very creepy. This is the weird stuff that works for me. When they lean into this weird shit, lean into the visions, lead into Ciri being like fucking Joan of Arc, kind of maybe a little bit out there. This is what I want to see. I like it. It's weird in the best ways.
I like it as well, and I like that it leans into her being slightly scared by them and being really unsettled by them, because it's freaky, you know, she's starting to see people's deaths in front of her, and she, right, you know, I think as naturally as you would then want to tell that person, no, don't do this because
Yeah,
this is going to happen, and Yennefer has to try and teach her that you just have to let it be, like you can't interfere.
It's a big struggle. Yeah, it's a big struggle that she's going to have when it's just like, no, I can make things better. And that obviously gets into Yen being like, don't do it. She's like, oh, I'm not like, you must be so easy just to be able to snap, use magic. And then she's like, ah, we're going to go see my house. And you're going to see what I was like. You're going to see what I went through. And then I never thought about it, but Yen takes ownership of this whole fucking war for her freeing Kair.
Yeah, I never put that together either.
I didn't either.
Like, I freed him, and that's, you know, the butterfly effect has, or the ripple effect has caused this all.
Yeah, that it especially breaking up the Brotherhood. Like, that led directly to doing it, was to Seiya backing Yen, Yen betraying her, and then there's this factions, if you want to call, in the Brotherhood, at least the two main ones, and that, yeah, Yennefer did this whole shit.
Good one, Yen.
Yeah, it was a good lesson, though. Good lesson. I'm glad they put that in.
Yeah, very good lesson. Yeah.
A lot of characters here we're seeing either, again, I should say, or for the first time. We get Emir. This the same actor?
Yes.
Okay, man, he's got his eyeshadow. Everyone has a fucking eyeshadow or something. Everyone's kind of glowed up.
He's got a little eyeliner on. I think it looks pretty good.
He does. He's wearing fucking armor in his fucking palace. I don't like that he's wearing armor
He's got the armor
on. I'm like, bro, is a fucking battle about to break out in your throne room? Like
where is the Nilfgaardian loungewear?
Yeah, I want to see him in his fucking, like, doublet, his badass Charles Dance doublet.
Ugh. I did keep thinking about Charles Dance, actually, in this episode.
Yeah.
Because we got lots of Emir talking, and I was like, man, you're not Charles Dance.
No, but Charles Dance is way the fuck too old.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But the voice,
I would love if they would put him in. I know Alyssa, who you talked about earlier from Breakfast in Beauclair, she did a podcast recently with Doug Cockle and Peter Kenny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they talked about how it would have been so cool if those two guys had been just sat in a tavern somewhere just talking. You know, just like a little nod to gamers. And I mean, it probably a little bit more unrealistic, but imagine Charles Dance was there as well, just doing something in the background.
I was kind of hoping he would be like the usurper in a flashback.
Oh, like, that would be cool.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We also get Fringilla. Fringilla's back. She's fucking drinking, being forced to drink to test for poison. That's terrible.
I hate seeing my girl this way. This made me sad. Like, she's in a bad way.
She is in a bad way. We get Codringer and Fenn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we did meet them last series where Istrid was going to them for information. And now it seems everybody's going to them for information and they will only give it up for the right price.
They're all and they're going to be dead next episode.
Yeah.
And I do think they are going to cut out a character, which is fine. The character's not needed. There was a half-elf... God, I could be totally showing my ass. There's a half-elf assassin called Shuru. And I'm pretty
Shuru.
I'm pretty sure he's the one who actually killed Codringer and Fenn and burned the place down. Because this whole thing was burning. It's why in Gwent, his action was burning all the highest, like, powered cards. Or burning a certain level of cards. And he also died by burning. So it's very poetic in that sense. But yeah, Shuru, so they must be cutting him out. He doesn't really do much. He's just someone that fucking rents, you know, I was about to say, almost kind of messed it up. Somebody hires rents, you know, this mage they're talking about works for them. And then, like, fucking rents would hire fucking, like, Shuru to go do that. And so I think that was they're kind of cutting him out there, which is fine. But Codringer Fenn, I love them, but they're only here for two more episodes.
Yeah, I didn't think
they didn't kill the cat, though, at least. Oh, my God. When he picked up that cat, I was like, I swear to God.
I know. I was like, you're already in my bad books, new actor.
Yeah,
you burn the cat.
And then
the cat.
It comes out that actor was the guy who's just like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should kill the cat. And she's like, no, you don't put stuff in like that. You put in book stuff. You don't do that. And then we get Kira Metz.
Yes, we meet Kira Metz. And
all the fucking horny fanboys.
I know.
Going crazy.
Where's blonde Kira?
We got to find out what previous guest of the show, Basic Wit Girl, thinks. Because she was a Kira stan.
She is a Kira
mainly
stan,
mainly because she
yeah.
looks like Kira. Blonde.
Yeah. But this Kira is still, it kind of has the same core where she's got a little shop and she's in the arse end of nowhere just selling shit. She's not living a high life in Aretuza or anything
it's
like
very
that.
Witcher 3 kind of esque. Yeah, not in so Swamp and Velen, but yeah, she's kind of on her own doing some shady shit.
Yes, and she says she's just living the quiet life, but she's like, you want to go back to Aretuza? Ooh, you know, she's kind of like, oh, why do you want to do that? But yeah, so it's kind of similar to Kira Metz in Velen.
Yeah, so this guy with face tats comes up, and the reason I want to talk about this is we get some name drops, and it's one of those,
cool.
If you know, you know, this is setting a little bit of course for next season. And Siri kind of frees this. I guess that was a child.
I thought it was just like
that was a little
or
person.
A dwarf.
Yeah,
or a
I thought it was a little
person,
person.
But she said child later on.
Is it a child? I'm like, God damn, that makes it so much more. But again, it's laying the groundwork for maybe something. What she's seeing. Siri frees him. Yen kills him. Kira's like, holy shit, that was... the guy says he's going to Claremont also. And then later on, Yen name drops Leo Bonnart.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of those, if you know, you know. And we will probably going to see that motherfucker next season.
I'm not sure if I read this correctly, but I'm sure he's been cast. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's been cast.
That I did just see that, or I think I put that in our Discord.
Oh, you did? Okay.
That it's been cast, or they know who they're going to cast, or something like that.
But it hasn't been announced.
That's going to be another one, I do think, along now. There's not many left, but I think it's Leo Bonnart and Regis are going to be the two left that people will get up in arms about the casting.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see who they cast for Leo Bonnart, because it's going to be, I don't want, but it's an older man, a borderline supernatural fighter, but he's super thin and like not frail, but
scary
just
looking.
Ropey muscle is what I would describe it. If I was to describe his arms, I'd say it's like ropey muscle, where it's very, to me, it's, I imagine someone who's about 6'4", 180 pounds, 175 pounds, but is just quick as shit.
Yeah.
And just terrifying.
I keep thinking of like Graham McTavish. Do you think if he wasn't Deke
Graham
Stroke,
McTavish
he...
is like fucking yoked
out.
Yeah,
he's out. Like hench though, isn't
now,
he?
You know, honestly, I've said, people think I'm joking about this, but fucking Matthew McConaughey. I'm not joking when I say
cool.
that. Matthew McConaughey, and tell him to channel Rust Cole from True Detective. So basically play Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
But be one a psychopath and just be a bit more, is just fucking eerie as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not joking. They're obviously not going to do it. It's like too much, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
But that's who I fucking want. And I want to see a psychopathic Rust Cole is Matthew McConaughey just in there. Because if you've seen True Detective, I'm talking about True Detective Season 1. I think if you think about Rust Cole, how that guy operates, that you can see McConaughey easily clicking over to a fucking sociopath or a psychopath. A psychopath. He's not a sociopath. He fucking Leo Bonnart plans shit out. And to do it, I would kill for that.
But we'll probably get someone.
It'll be an unknown. Yeah, of course.
An unknown.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And man, I can dream though. But you're right. It'll be, hey, the budget though. A lot of money's going to open up. Liam Hemsworth is not Henry Cavill.
Yes, that's very true. There's money.
Millions of dollars going to open up. And I'm telling you, if this gets reviewed and received as well as we've liked it, I don't know. I don't know. Speculate.
Could be a turning point.
It's a turning point for me, no doubt. Of course, part two. There's still part two. We got to see him land.
That's true.
But we'll see.
The thing is, the only thing is, I think a lot of the angry people like
please
tweet
go
about
away.
Shit. That's the thing, though. I think they're too stubborn. Like,
away.
They'll never, even if they enjoyed it,
oh yeah,
they would never say. That was
it's
kind
a
of
sunk
the thing
cost.
With the,
it's an absolute sunk cost.
I think there was a similar thing going around about The Last Jedi, is that people went to the cinema, saw The Last Jedi, kind of enjoyed it, thought it was all right, but then saw the Twitter discourse and then like developed a hatred for it, even though they might have thought it was okay.
Man, there is so much to go over The Last Jedi, and I have less than zero desire to revisit the discourse of The Last Jedi all around, like just at all. But yes, if anybody out there listening actually is one of those people that fucking responds that, oh, this is the last season, or oh, Henry Cavill's gone, I'm gone. If you are someone that does, if you believe it, like whatever, that's fine. But if you're actually responding to people on Twitter and you're somehow listening to this episode, go ahead and hit that unsubscribe button and fuck off.
Or just accept that you are a fan.
No, I don't want, well, not just stay the fuck out of here. Don't join the fucking Discord, you weird motherfuckers. Like,
so
go
annoying.
Yell at fucking DC. Go yell at James Gunn about fucking Superman. Leave the goddamn Witcher alone.
Yeah, the Superman thing is so funny. Like, the new guy that got cast as Superman, and people were commenting under it.
Wait,
going,
I thought they only cast Clark Kent.
Oh, I don't know. What? Stupid.
There you go. You fell for it.
But I thought it's so annoying that people comment under it going, oh, so they just hired someone who looks exactly like Henry Cavill. And it's like, no, they both got hired because they look like Superman.
He's too old. Like, they're
Henry Cavill's 40 now.
It's the same
You
people
can't
that
play a
would have.
teenager.
I promise you, I guarantee you there were people when Daniel Craig got hired as James Bond, like in 2006, I think the movie came out. So he got hired probably like announced in like 2004 or whatever, 2005. Guarantee you there are people going like, it should be Sean Connery. It should be Sean Connery. Motherfucker's 78 years old. Like, get over it. The Unintended Consequences talk loved it. Between Yen and Siri, this is fucking Witcher talk right here. Like, this is shit straight from the books, straight from this world of the Witcher. It's dead on what I love about this fucking series. And we get the ugly, my ugly one. And I will say, when I heard it, I'm like, okay, I know that's a reference to her calling her ugly duckling in the books. And I think it's because to, I think it's what fucking sorceresses do to like knock people down a peg. You know, you break them apart and then you build them back up. But it just kind of jarred me when she said it here, because I was like, oh, I didn't get that feeling. They're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to now be like lovey-dovey and all that stuff. It's just weird. It's weird that they threw that in there, and that's the, one of the things that I look at when I think, is that forced in there to be like a reference?
I felt like that because I knew about that reference because you've told me before. So I kind of think if I didn't know, I would have been like, eh,
Whoa.
what?
Yeah,
Yeah, like
bitch,
2 seconds
Yen. What a
ago,
yes.
you were ice skating and like laughing and loving each other and it
The
was all
ugly
very
one.
nice. Now it's like you're ugly. I was like, fucking hell.
Yeah. I know, and it's even in the books. I remember reading it, being like, "God damn, why? That seems really fucking harsh to do." But it's no, it's someone like Siri needed to be brought down a peg. This is like humbling her.
And the bathhouse scene in the next episode, we'll talk about it when we get there, but I was like, jeez, this is hard
Oh, I
to watch.
loved it.
Yeah,
Loved.
it was
Oh, I got
so
that. I got a
funny.
note down on that. Kair gets rescued. Here he's like in exile, doing some
Yes,
bullshit work.
he's being punished by Emir because I think at the end of the last series he and
Him and
Fringilla
Fringilla,
lied to Emir
saying
and
they were the
Emir
ones
caught
that
them
killed the
out.
baby when it was actually Emir. You know, I didn't mention that earlier when Emir came up. I love his characterization because it would have been so easy for them to make him a mustache twirling, just absolute piece of shit. And it's just, no, he's actually got a little bit of charisma. He's explaining why he's doing it with the sword, you know, the balance of the sword with, I would believe it was a dwarf. I thought it's dwarf because I saw the
She has a beard.
she has a beard. Otherwise, I thought it might have been a gnome, because like gnomish blades are
Oh,
very
yeah.
well. Yeah, but it's definitely a dwarf. And maybe remember that sword. It might kind of play. I don't think it shouldn't, but Zoltan has not been in this series, has he?
No. Well,
Huh.
something's ringing in my head that he's been cast.
Interesting. Because I was kind of thinking, like, are they just going to combine Yarpin with him?
Yeah, I thought they might do that as well.
I think they could. And I honestly, I wouldn't mind it, but I do think they that would that might be an issue just because Zoltan is so liked by game players, like players,
Gamers.
gamers. There you go. Fuck. By lowercase g gamers, not capital G
Yeah,
gamers.
gamers.
All right, let's talk about this fucking experiment
Oh,
with these
God.
heads
Godric the
growing.
Grafted.
Dude, I know when I said that. Like all the monsters are all just meh to me. They really are. I don't give a shit about them. This was truly hard to watch.
Horrific. Like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And I was just thinking about Godric the Grafted the whole time.
It's not that damn Elden Ring.
Yes, you remember him?
Oh, of course. Of course, yeah. He's a, you know, Godric the Golden.
Godric the Grafted, the one who's like put together of all the arms and
Oh,
stuff.
Godwin the Golden.
I'm
Godwin
thinking,
was the golden. Yeah. Okay.
yeah.
Yeah. Godric the Grafted. Yeah. Forefathers bear witness.
Ugh, and he's just like
Bear
put all together of
witness.
arms and dragon heads, and he's just so gross.
Yeah.
This is like a little
This,
mini version of him.
at the end of season, at the end of episode 5 of this season, they do say who is behind everything. They finally piece it
Ah,
together.
they do the big reveal.
They do a reveal. Yes, they do. Yeah. You have a little false Ciri thing. Another kind of book runs in there. Oh, as I mentioned earlier, Codringer and Finn, they get got.
They
Fritz
do. They do.
takes the
Oh,
kitty
yeah. Well,
and
I was fine
burns
with that as
them.
long as it didn't burn the cat.
Yeah, their death was horrific in the
Oh,
books.
the scream. Oh, well, I was going to say
No,
you could hear the screaming.
it's really fucking bad. Like, yeah, they did not go out painlessly or quietly. It was really bad. I'm glad they just spared us that.
Yeah, because we did grow to kind of like those two
Oh,
characters in
great.
the
And I saw,
menacing little ways.
I forgot her name, but the woman, she just got in a fucking Marvel show. She's in the Marvel
Oh, no
universe
way.
now. Yeah, get that Marvel money. Last thing, again, I mentioned earlier, Yen visits her home and says the reason why the war is breaking out is freeing Kai here and all this infighting. And that's pretty much it, what I got for the episode Unbound.
The one thing I really took away from the ending was the fake Siri bit. I think the actress who plays fake Siri does an amazing job just being slightly weird and all over the place. And I didn't realize, like, whenever you have mentioned fake Siri to me in the past, I've always thought it's just some girl, you know, like in the first series or the first season where Calanthe tells a girl, you go and pretend to be Siri.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's what fake Siri was. I didn't realize it was a girl who's almost been like possessed to believe that she is Siri. So I thought I was really caught off guard by that. And yeah, I just think, especially in the next episode as well, the actress who does it is so good at just being unhinged.
Unhinged? Yeah, we'll get to that, because going back to True Detective, got another True Detective comment. All right, this is straight up A tier. I loved it. During and after this episode, my eyes kind of like went up and I'm like, that was really good. Okay, yeah. Let's keep going. I got to keep going. So no, this was dead ass A tier.
Okay. I'm not sure where to put this one yet. I'm going to have to decide at the end.
You know what it is. S is at the top. For those that don't know, I don't know why. Then A, B, C, D. So S is just immaculate, perfect piece of television.
Okay, it wasn't that.
Yeah, no. So it's going to be an A or B.
Yeah, I think it'd be A for now. Yeah. Okay.
So boom. Nope, too late. Set in stone. All right, here we go. Episode 3, Reunion. And I may have to pick up the pace because I got some steaks.
The steaks are ready.
Sirloins. Right out of the gate, Yaskier has a crush, and as we did with our spoiler-free things in my Kurt Cobain voice, everyone is gay. Everyone. This is the gayest show, right? Everyone's gay. Yes. NPCs in the background are gay. Random people are gay.
Exactly. Even like the woman who was speaking to Amir about her sword. Yeah, she's like, my wife. She's got a wife.
That bartender Yaskier's talking to Applegad is just like, oh, a lot of her shit on my face. I'm like, oh, gay.
Everybody's gay in this show. And everybody's also polyamorous. Polyamorous as well. Yaskier's getting with whoever he wants. And Philippa is also getting with whoever she wants. And yeah, right on.
Yeah. So like book-wise, Philippa was bi. If not, actually, I do think the more to get out of it is Philippa is actually like gay.
Yeah, but she's
used Dijkstra, as we'll see coming
politically.
Up. Like, yeah. This one, yeah, that is political and kind of like used him in that sense right there. We get the werewolf, Otto the werewolf. I wanted to see a werewolf fight. Not Geralt fighting him, but I wanted some like rowdy fucking rinse people to come and attack. And I want to see a fucking werewolf tearing ass.
Let him loose. Yeah. But I thought that was really cool where she lifts the enchant or he has a special necklace and we get the little story about how Geralt saved him rather than killing him. It's like, oh, that's so Geralt. That is so him.
The total Geralt move.
Yeah.
TGM.
But I was thinking we were going to get big werewolf transformation, but Geralt manages to restrain him just long enough to get the talisman back on.
It might have been actually very Witcher if you had to kill him and to be like, yeah, oh, sorry, but had to do it. Siri and Yen get to Gore's Velen in the Giancardi Bank here. Mm-hmm. And again, this right here is almost dead on to Tower of the Swallow. Time of Contempt. Fabio Sachs. Fabio and Siri are together, like in the books. Donuts. Just like that. Fabio got her some donuts, but here she's just fucking double fisting them. bro is wheat intolerant. What the fuck? What?
So out of place. Do you want a donut? No,
I'm wheat intolerant. And I'm just like, God, okay. I'm like, really? I wonder when the first ever case of somebody being like, I'm wheat intolerant is. I'd like to know how many medieval peasants that
would turn down a free donut.
Only fucking had wheat, the staple of everyone's diet. If you were wheat intolerant back then, did you just fucking die or just shit yourself to death?
I would love if that was just an improvised line by him and they're like, oh yeah, okay. Like the actor's actually just like, no, I can't.
He's actually wheat intolerant. Yeah, he just forgot the cameras were rolling. Torlara, the Tower of the Gull. Ooh, maybe remember that. The Basilisk and the Baby Wyvern. Again, it's something in there. Siri has to kill it. In the books, I love this fucking knight. like waiting till it's over and being like, get away from her, foul beast.
Yeah.
He's like, this oh, you saved me. Did I?
This is also a quest in The Witcher 3. Do you remember?
It's like an Easter egg from the books. Yeah.
So it's called in Witcher 3, it's called the most truest of basilisks. And then it's quite cool because when the guy in the show is telling the big story about the basilisk, Ciri goes, that is the falsest lie. And then someone goes, it's the truest truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the name of the quest is the truest of basilisks.
Wow. Well done on that. Little Easter egg inside an Easter egg.
I didn't know it was a book reference as well. I thought it was just a game
thing.
This
is exactly how it went down. And then
cool.
Ciri had to like not take credit. I don't know if, I think Fabio might have had to take credit for it, but Ciri did not take credit because she didn't want, you know,
the glory.
To make noise is what it is. Yen and Tisea are talking. Yen admits to kind of fucking everything up. Tisea is basically saying, hey, you fucked everything up. What the hell are you doing? And then at the end of it, you've done it. You've become a mother.
Oh, I love that
line. And Yen
line.
Just can't stop smiling.
Yeah, I know. I love that as well. I seen it coming when she said it. I was like, she's going to say a mother. She's going to say a mother.
Become a mother.
And she did. It was so
sweet.
What
if she's like, you've done it. You've become a cunt. Like, whoa. Oh, hey.
You fucked everything up.
You fucked everything up. Istrid, Book of Monoliths.
Oh,
hello.
My God. Istrid, you're so season two.
Yeah. By the way, his look, so many different. This is what I mean. Like, it feels like a goddamn different show. So many people look completely different.
Yes. Everybody's got different hair.
Everyone is glowed
got
up.
Different
like
outfits.
Crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. But Istrid, Istrid more than anything. I love.
Oh my
I prefer
God.
Short hair. I prefer short hair on everybody, on every man. But Istrid and Jaskier, I don't like these long haired looks.
When I saw a picture of him on the internet before, I did not recognize him.
No, they look so different.
They look so. Dara also. Dara's got fucking dreads rocking. We didn't mention him. He's back. Not really doing much yet, but you know he's kind of there. He stalled.
He's just there at the moment.
I'm fighting Ciri. But yeah, Blood Origin is just where me Irish Witcher be? Just Irish Witcher, I should say. Yaskir's great, 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 great.
Yay, Jaskier. I'm gonna say that's canon now.
We are in disagreement on that. You can say it, but that does not represent the views of On the Path as a whole. Gallatin mentioned side missions. I laughed at that when he's like, Francesca's on these side missions.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I'm like, oh, it's actually like a side mission. It is. That's a big time game reference right there. I mean, they just say like side mission in
on
there.
Some side quests.
To do it. Oh, I mentioned earlier, like, why is Emir in armor in his like palace throne room or wherever he is?
Actually, all the time. Maybe they spent all the budget on Henry Cavill, so they can only have one outfit for Emir.
Yeah. They did not spend it on fucking Kyre's outfits. That dude's in fucking rags. That poor bastard's got to be cold on that set.
I know. Bless him.
Just wearing this fucking, like, undershirt. Him and Fringilla, because Fringilla...
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Did we even mention that she escaped? I guess we did.
Yeah, she ties herself up in a body bag and gets yeeted.
And you know
out,
what?
And she's escaped.
Do we see her? I don't know if we see her again.
I don't think we do.
No, I mean, even in 4 and 5, I don't know.
Oh, no way.
Maybe we do. I might. Whatever. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll watch it in there. Jaskier and Geralt are talking. The Princess Broodmere. That's what they do, Geralt. And Jaskier is facts right there. Like, yeah, that's what princesses do. They sit on the throne and they have babies.
But then he says, that's what Ciri wants. And I'm like, does she? Where is she?
And then he's like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, he's like, actually, no, I'm talking out my arse.
Yeah, because that's right. Jaskier, Jaskier, this one, has admitted that, yeah, Redania was in contact and that he thinks Redania is the best place for her because of this. And then he eventually realizes, that's probably what she doesn't want.
I do like that Geralt's kind of confronted Jaskier in a friendly way. He was like, I'm not mad. I just want to know what they want.
Yeah.
I know that you've been
Philippa.
Speaking to them.
Well, especially Philippa of all people. It's like Philippa and Dijkstra are the two people. It's like you're not just having a random friendly conversation. You don't run into each other. Philippa and
agenda.
Dijkstra don't run into anybody on accident.
Mm-hmm.
They know where everybody is. Back with Taryn, the woman in the experiment. She mentions a woman with a funny voice. Oh, yeah.
And a man with a scar.
Anybody putting it together? The man with the scar. And you'll put it, if you haven't, it'll be put together for you by episode 5. This, though, straight ass from True Detective. When the two main guys, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, Rust Cole, and I forget what the other guy's name, find a catatonic girl, and they kind of go question her, hey, what the name, blah, 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 and she fucking freaks out just like this, starts screaming, they tell him to fuck off, and they have to, like, put her under.
It was a sad moment, but also just so creepy when she suddenly turns, and she's got this, like, such weird demonic voice all of a sudden.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of got little deathless mother PTSD, and anytime that happens, I'm like, don't be the deathless mother.
I thought they were gonna save all of me. I was like, oh my god,
I would have been done. Like, as I'm back in, I'm jumping back through the window and back in the Witcher, Netflix Witcher, and then if, like, in the middle somehow, if I heard Volothmir, I would stop time and just whoop, just be like, I'm out.
No Volothmir here. No. She did get a mention, an honorable mention by Ciri earlier in the show. And Ciri says to Yennefer, you were going to lose me to Volothmir. Yeah. And I was like, No. We don't need to talk about Ciri.
That's season two. We don't talk about season two. We get Margarita Loontiel.
Yes.
Is here, the rectoress of Aretusa, now that Tisea is, like, you know, the brotherhood and all that. And fuck yeah, summon the bitches.
This is
not my
so
words,
funny.
Those are Eskel's words, not mine. Yeah. Which is three Eskel, not mine.
I just love that Yennefer gave Ciri basically like an air tag and was like, I'll use this to locate you if you get lost.
Say this chat and I'll find you.
Yeah, so chant, she uses her little air tag, but she gets a little bit more than she bargained for when Margarita, Sabrina, Tisea, and Yennefer all show up at the same time.
They all show up at the same time. Sabrina's bored, but Yen is like, hey, let's go get drunk at the spa. Let's have a spa day, girl.
Let's go.
Yes. So they go there, which again, something that Sabrina, I don't believe Sabrina was there in the books. I think it was Margarita, Tisea, and Yen, I believe. I think. So they're at there. Ciri could not be bothered with any of it. They're treating her like a lowly fucking servant.
Yeah,
and eventually
really
Margarita's
badly,
like, hey.
Especially Margarita.
Yeah, Rita is more like, hey, go get me a Rita. And Ciri just basically tell them, bitches, get your own wine.
And Yen's face and Sabrina just like busts out laughing.
Oh, Sabrina's
it's
just
so
laughing.
Funny.
Oh, I love Ciri's way too headstrong for this shit. And she doesn't say it this episode. She says it when she kind of gets back with Geralt. I think a little bit later on that it's a very much a not like other girls moment where it's, they're just catty girls drinking, blah, blah, blah. It's
I don't want Ciri to be a pick me.
Yeah, but she's not wrong though.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, considering all that she's going through, they have this fucking spa day where they're gossiping and fucking drinking. And she's just like, yo, we got shit to do.
Yeah,
the continent's on fire and someone's trying to kill me. It's very much like a game. Where the main character is like Yen being like, hey, we have to go do this. Oh, but first let's do this fucking side quest of getting drunk at a spa.
How about a round of Gwent, Ciri?
How about some Gwent or Barrel, if we're going to look into that. And then Ciri and Yen have a little bit of a falling out. And as I had in my notes, it was a Varsity Blues, I don't want your life moment.
Yeah.
You've seen that movie. You'll know what it is. Where Ciri's just like, yeah, I don't want this shit. You may want it. It's what you want, but it's not for me. Arya Stark also.
Yes, Geralt would never sell his soul like this. Like, shit.
Like, whoa.
Okay, don't pit mom and dad against each other.
That was a nice episode they had where they liked each other.
Yeah, now it's all over.
Yeah, but it happens to headstrong queens going at it. Geralt also, the druid, when he went to sea, learns that his mama is dead.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to hear a mention of his mother again, but this woman that he took Taryn to see is a friend of the mother.
Yeah.
And she breaks the news that the mom was killed.
And OMG, Henry Cavill acting.
He actually has a little
monologue. And it's just like, oh, and he shows a bit of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yes, thank you, season three, for finally
giving him something to do.
There's an inkling of the whiny, bitchy, mopey Geralt that I know and love from the books. And it's like, is it coming?
What about episode 4 and 5?
That's it. No, but at the same time, it's just like, that's not what the character is in here.
Right.
But I'm glad that we at least got to see that. Over in Redania, We get a everything's like movie references here. Get a very much Brad Pitt said, "What's in the
What's in
box?
the
What's in the
box?" That
box?
was my gift for this episode.
Oh, completely, completely. If you've ever seen the movie Seven, you know exactly what it is. Queen Hedwig's head is in a box, not a D in a box, but a H in a box.
Yeah.
And this was Dijkstra's doing.
Yes, and he
Dijkstra
set it
Philippa.
Up to make Vizimir believe it was an Nilfgaard.
Why is he letting Radovid know this? And
I don't know.
Like after he's like, "Yeah, you better not say anything or I'll kill you." It's like, why are you leaving this massive loose end? This is his brother.
Yeah.
Who
Like,
could
what's your leverage here?
Who could muster up a force, who could go get like three fucking royal guards, his own personal guard, because he's a fucking prince, and do it. I don't understand this coming from Dijkstra, the supposed like smartest genius level motherfucker.
That's it. Yeah. And I also
don't
love
get
that
it.
His way of obviously he's got the queen's head in a box, and all that he's had to do is write "from Nilfgaard" on the top of it.
Sincerely, Nilfgaard. Yeah.
And Vizimir is like, "This is Nilfgaard's doing.
This is Nilfgaard's doing. The note says it right here. Where's the manservant?" It's like, what?
But
what?
Yeah, there's. I don't understand the angle from Dijkstra here as to letting Radovid in on the secret. Obviously, they want to use Radovid more in their scheming, but like Philippa said, they don't trust anybody else. So I don't know why he's suddenly been trusted with this.
Yeah, it's weird, and again, nothing comes up through at least five episodes. We'll see if it's a long play in about a month or so. Next up, Philippa,
more gay.
And this woman. Fuck, I forgot the name. Eden or something like that.
Eve, I think. Yeah.
Who's the one who actually cut off Hedwig's head and made it seem like it took a while. So did she fucking saw it off?
She made it seem like she kind of enjoyed doing it as well. It was just kind of like, oh, that was tough. You know, I enjoyed that one. I was like,
this was very much like, oh, we're not supposed to like her. Like, she's an absolute fucking piece of shit. I don't know. Maybe she'll die a horrible death as well. But speaking of dying a horrible death, my boy Galadin, he's gone. Kyre has to prove his worth and
prove his loyalty.
Proves his loyalty because Emir's fucking brilliant. And he looks at it going, the elves are not united. I have somebody in here who's sowing some sort of distrust or disruption. I'm gonna get rid of him. He's fucking
He also
dead.
Came in. Emir seems to work with Francesca, and they have some kind of understanding going on.
The leader. He mentions he knows a leader when he sees it.
And then you've got Gallatin coming in here, completely throwing Francesca under the bus. So I think he's kind of like, oh, well, we get rid of him. Francesca can carry on as doing what she's doing. And also he now knows that Francesca's looking for Ciri.
And I think that's kind of what it is, that he's looking for this
let
girl.
Let her continue,
And he's like, okay, let her do it. We'll be in the shadow. And then we'll see what happens there. All right, last thing I have on here. Ciri is riding on her own, and here come the spectral warriors. The Red Riders, the Wild Hunt, and tell Ciri, Aridin. If you have the subtitles on, it says Aridin.
Yep, it does, yep.
You are death itself. And it's real. The legends, the true, all of it in Han Solo voice.
Force Awakens. But yeah, that was pretty scary. And she thought she was having a vision, but then he grabs her on the shoulder and something is there when Geralt ards them all away, and she realizes, no, that was real.
That it's real. Fucking Wild Hunt. I'll admit, I'm not too the helmets. I'm like, maybe like the helmets. But
it was weird that we could see him through it this time.
Oh, you could last season.
Could you?
Yeah, you could see. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could. I think I remember that because it was kind of it kind of threw me off too that it was.
Yeah.
I wish it was just totally covered.
Yeah, and now I'm just thinking of like little Aridin from Blood Origin, and I'm like, I'm not scared of you anymore.
Fuck. Oh my god, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I totally.
Do you remember he came up in the mid credit scene?
No, that was Avalok.
Oh my god.
That was Avalok.
Oh shit. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Aridin is still.
Yeah. No, that was, oh my god, Avalok. Yeah, wait for him again. All right, so that's going to do it. You got anything else for episode 3 before we tear it?
No, I enjoyed it again. I love the bathhouse scene. I love that we've got more mages. I love that we're seeing more relationships between the mages, whether that's like good, bad, or political, or whatever. It's cool to see all these characters joining forces, whether that be good or bad.
Yeah, A tier, no doubt. All the references, they landed. It kept me in there. The fucking Wild Hunt. God damn, I love the Wild Hunt. And they just put it in there to be like, hey, remember them? Oh, it's just kind of coming. In the same vein that it happened in the books again. This is what happened. Series writing, and the fucking Wild Hunt comes out, and like villagers see it. And it's one of those, like, everyone's starting to see them because they're coming more and more because they know Ciri is there. But yeah, no, A tier, loved it. At this point, when I finished the episode 2 days ago, whatever it was, I was like, damn, I think they figured it out. And I'm fucking locked in, hooked.
They found their feet. It's so annoying. I'm like, as soon as I started watching episode one, I was like, oh shit. Like, we spend so long being like, oh, okay, like, I'm not that excited for it anymore. We don't get our hopes up. And then I was like, oh, bonding montage. Oh, they're ice skating. Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, you got in that quick.
I was that quick. I was like, I love it.
Okay. Now, see, the first episode was, to me, like I said before, it was very just kind of eh. And I was like, I'll keep watching. But it was the second and the third. They just solidified it. And then, like I said, tease ahead, 4 and 5, I just fucking boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'm locked in on it. And you're right. It is kind of frustrating in the sense of that it took to me 3 seasons to get there. But as we've said before, time and time again, this is the first show that the showrunner, Lauren Schmidt-Hestrick, has ever ran. Yeah. And like a coach, like a leader, like a boss, everything, you learn on the fucking job the first time you're doing something. And it's taken it. And honestly, I haven't looked in to see if they've subtracted some writers, if they've added, you know, certain ones that came and did it. I know 4 or 5 was written by, was it Claire Higgins, I think is her name. She's been there from Jump Street on this. And so, yeah, I couldn't be more fucking, one, stunned that I'm actually saying, that I'm actually thinking like, oh my God, this is not good like Witcher. This actually feels like a good show.
Yeah, it's which exciting
is my biggest,
to watch.
Which is my biggest criticism, I should say. My criticism, first and foremost, has never been, oh, it's not like the books. Ultimately, I don't care about that. Just give me a good show. Give me something good to watch that's interesting. Do your own thing. I just didn't think it was a well-made show. These first 3 episodes, to me, were just vastly superior in quality, everything. Pacing, story, focus.
Pacing is what I was going to say.
Yes, everything. They're an hour long, but they just fucking flowed.
Yeah, like there's a lot going on. There's a lot to take in, but it's paced well. I feel like it's easy to keep up with. And it's engaging as well, like the conversations. I just had an 8-hour flight back from Canada and I watched House of the Dragon. And, you know, that's fucking insanely good in terms of conversation and just talking scenes. And there was loads of that here, which we were kind of lacking in the last 2 series. And that's what we really wanted. So it's cool to see.
They feel like now at this point, they trusted the audience to sit through it. They have their monsters and they're on screen for like fucking 3 minutes, like they're very short. And I'm like, good. I don't want to fuck
the whole side quest episode of a big monster. You know,
exactly.
The and all that
kind of thrown in there for a little trailer and whatnot to have. And it's just, I don't know. I cannot fucking wait to hear what people think about this. Just like you, listener. Again, if you want more of us, check out our Patreon link below. If you are listening for the first time or anything like that, we did used to do the Witcher 3. We went quest by quest, mainly a lot of movie shit like that. It's kind of a little bit all over the place. So look through that feed, find out some stuff like that, but absolutely click on the link below about the Discord, come into there, have a good discussion. Don't be fucking weird. I'll just say that, like, don't be weird in there. Don't be toxic or anything. You'll get fucking banned, hammered very, very quickly because we'll leave that shit to the Twitter comments. But check that out. Please let us know. And even regular listeners, longtime listeners, please put in there. Let's discuss it. I can't wait. I can't wait for the inevitable response from some people that I oversold it to do it. Yeah. I was kind of worried about that too. It was like, I'm kind of raising the bar too high. Maybe it's in a good mood. I don't know, but check that out as well as all the social links below. And Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on any social media platform.
Find me on Twitter, The Fox Bride 4, Twitch, The Fox Bride. And join us next week as we finish part 1 of The Witcher Season 3 with episodes 4 and 5 and go to a ball.